today on CityCast Denver. A few years ago, nobody wanted to talk about safe outdoor spaces. Housing advocates said they'd provide warm, weather-resistant tents for people experiencing homelessness, but the mayor was against it. And at the time, so was I. But I changed my mind, and so did the mayor. And last month, City Council approved an additional $3.9 million to support and expand the program.
Right, we're here and we're ready. Sorry for our delay.
Quica Montoya and Ian Stitt help manage the Safe Outdoor Space program. And they're on the show today to talk about why these spaces actually work. Today is Monday, March 7th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver. Sorry, would you guys give me 1 second? I think my husband is hammering something and it's in the background. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, it was actually my 9-month-old banging something on the floor. And my husband was just watching him do it. So sorry about that. Quica Montoya and Ian Stitt, welcome to CityCast Denver.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Quica, I'd love to start with just kind of some basics. For listeners who aren't familiar, what is a safe outdoor space?
What a safe outdoor space is an outdoor individualized sheltering model. It's basically an alternative to our congregate sheltering options for folks that sleep outside.
And when you say congregate sheltering option, that's sort of like what we think of when we say a homeless shelter.
Correct. Congregate shelter is usually a big building where there's a large room and there's many beds in that one room. So we seek to provide an alternative for that, which is people have their own space. So inside of our safe outdoor space, there's some basic infrastructure that we have, which are we utilize ice fishing shelters, and then we have larger tents for meal delivery and service delivery, and a management trailer that houses our 24/7 staff.
Ian, can you explain why those things Quica just mentioned, like the ice fishing shelters and the 24/7 staff, why do those make such a difference for people?
So most congregate shelters, you have to be up by a certain time. That's usually 5 a.m, and that you have to be out the door. And historically, the shelters have been only nighttime shelters. And so it wasn't until the pandemic that we had switched to a 24-hour sheltering model here in Denver, which means that people can come and go as they please. But the beauty of the safe outdoor space compared to congregate shelters is that we are a 24-hour shelter. We've been from the beginning. And so our community members have the opportunity of living their life the way they so choose inside of their own space, which is their ice fishing shelter. On top of that, some of our folks choose to you know, be awake during the night, or are night owls kind of naturally. And so I say kind of it's pick your own adventure in some ways like that, because we try to provide them with this dignity, this humanity that every person deserves, which is that they get to determine how their days go. So if they want to choose to wake up early and go to work, they can. And if they need to take a day off or not do anything that day, they can choose to do that as well.
This question is probably for both of you, but I'd love to put the SOS program in the context of our broader housing crisis. Like, what scale is the collaborative operating at versus the scale of need for these services?
Well, the scale is immense. I mean, we're experiencing a housing crisis, the likes that we have never seen. We have thousands of people here in Denver experiencing homelessness at any given night. And in that way, we are not meeting the need at which we would love to be meeting. But I also think in that regard, we are trying to meet the need in a dignified, holistic way. And so our intention is not to see this as the solution to homelessness, but a solution or an aspect of the multifaceted solution to homelessness, because we believe that this is a great opportunity for many folks, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is the opportunity for every person experiencing homelessness.
Yeah, we're trying to exist to be, you know, that alternative response to unsheltered street homelessness, and really provide an opportunity for folks that the sheltering system doesn't necessarily work for. So we're also trying to address the gaps in our current sheltering system, which some of the gaps are, you know, our genderized sheltering model. Not everybody feels comfortable in either a male or female shelter. People that have a partner, people with pets. And so we're really trying to meet the gaps and also provide an alternative to unsheltered, unsanctioned homelessness in Denver.
So when Safe Outdoor Spaces was sort of first being talked about, I have to say, even as a person that advocates for support of our unhoused neighbors in humane ways, my thought was like, why? This isn't a great idea because I'd rather just see people housed. But as it's gone on, I've understood that this is part of a bigger picture of the continuum of housing. Where does like an SOS fit in between these, you know, like being unsheltered versus being securely, adequately housed?
So as you can imagine, somebody who's just fighting every day to survive for a place to sleep, a place to go to the bathroom, a place to have a meal, how do you have the time to work on those important things that would help you solve your housing crisis? You can't. So we're right there in that space of trying to get folks adequate resources and wraparound services so that they can just be and survive without having to fend for themselves on an hour. Sometimes it's a minutely, hourly basis on the streets. So having folks feel safe and stable so that bigger picture can start to be looked at.
And we do it in a community-based model. You know, I don't know that we talk about it enough because we do this because we believe that homelessness as it exists today will not be solved by the homeless service providers. We firmly believe that homelessness will be solved by the community and only by engaging the community around us in the solution are we going to do any good. And I think to note on that as well, like we're bringing people back to themselves. We're providing them an opportunity at stabilization that congregate shelters may not be able to provide them, that unsheltered homelessness may not be able to provide them in a way that's structured so that when they do move into housing, that they're successful.
That's so helpful to me to like understand it as someone who's never been unhoused. But I think about like if you go camping for 2 weeks and then you come back to like quote unquote civilization, you're reacclimating to your life inside your home. And that's not in any way the same, but it makes sense to me now to see why you can't just jump from someone who's been unhoused for a long time straight into this world of rules and regulations of like paying your rent, you know, like how we interact with our neighbors, you know, the social unspoken social rules that we have around communities and living and things. And so I love that this is a way for folks to reacclimate to things without it being this like extremely jarring experience.
Yeah. I would just like to touch on that a little bit after you've said that, because I know that a lot of people know a little bit about my story and that I come to this work from, you know, I started experiencing homelessness for a variety of reasons, but I owned a home. I had a career. My family broke up and through, I call it like a series of unfortunate events, right? That kept, you know, my life kind of in this crisis mode and winding up experiencing unsheltered homelessness. It was hard for me. And I knew how to get, like, I knew all the things, right? I knew how to rent an apartment. I had a career for 7 years, but it was still one of those overwhelming tasks of how do I get back there? And I had some of those skills. And then when you think about some of our folks who have been experiencing chronic homelessness for, you know, a long time, and maybe some folks have never had an apartment or signed a lease, you know, maybe they've lived only with family, that can be extremely overwhelming. So we're trying to provide that necessessary piece, first of all, and then as many as many services and resources as we can to prepare folks for that next stage in their life. Because like what Ian said is like when it's really hard to go from just unsheltered homelessness to housing and then have somebody be successful at it if they don't have the skills and the tools needed.
And so that's what's going on inside the safe outdoor spaces. But then there's this other piece. Ian, you brought it up already, but it's like this idea of community. It's important because every time there's an announcement of a new SOS site, I see pushback from neighbors. So how are you all changing people's minds?
Well, it doesn't take much work. I wish I could say that it was like, oh, something that we trained our folks to do. But it really isn't. Our folks are craving an opportunity to be a part of a community. They're craving for an opportunity to be treated just like any other person, because unsheltered homelessness is so undignified, is so inhumane, that when we give them those basic needs, suddenly they want to give back to the community. And so part of that is by engaging the community through community cleanups, which we do every other week, where we go out into the community and help pick up trash. And part of that is by listening to our neighbors. I think our neighbors have valid concerns, and we strive to hear them, but we also strive to show them through our actions and through our work with our community members that people experiencing homelessness are not what they assume they are.
This episode is brought to you by the Museum of Outdoor Arts. Because on Sunday, April 28th, the museum is hosting La Primavera Festival, a celebration of spring, to kick off event season at Marjorie Park. La Primavera Festival is a family-friendly event inspired in part by the Gaelic Bealtaine celebration and European May Day, marking the beginning of summer. And the star of the show is really something special. They're premiering the latest permanent installation by local artist Lonnie Hansen. It's called The Cabinet of Curiosities and Impossibilities. Hansen describes it as an enchanting homage to English curio shops, featuring a collection of relics from fairy tales and nursery rhymes that tell stories about early optics, geometry, magical tools, celestial wonders, and more. The festival includes a pancake brunch, live Celtic music, maypole dancing, flower crown and basket making, yard games, and a bar for adult beverages. Tickets are available now at moaonline.org. That's moaonline.org.
I want to look to the future for just a minute, because I think back to the beginnings of this idea of the safe outdoor space, it was sort of touted as unrealistic, right? Mayor Hancock opposed it. It was this pie in the sky out there idea, but now it's a thing. It's happening. It's in different neighborhoods in the city. It's more normalized, and we're about to spend $4 million, supporting and expanding this program. What is that? What's the next big idea? Or what if you two could have anything? What would we do next?
I want to work myself out of this job. I want there to not be unsheltered homelessness in Denver or unsheltered homelessness in the United States, that we're progressing towards really investing in the model of everybody deserves a place to call home, and that needs like ours, our program, will cease to exist. That's my perfect world. People should not be living outside without access to a bathroom or to throw away a piece of trash. Like, we're in this circle of like blaming the individual, when if somebody doesn't have access to a bathroom and they have to relieve themselves, why are we blaming that person? Why are we not looking at the larger systemic policies that are in place that kind of have created this culture? So that's my soapbox. That's my dream world. I want to work myself out of a job. Who says that?
Yeah, right. I'm just thinking about the basics now. It was like Arctic cold last week, and we're probably looking at more weather like that. What can listeners do to support you all and our unhoused neighbors?
We really try to take care of folks during this time. So we're, you know, we have 24/7 staff. So we're checking on folks, making sure their ambulatory hand and toe warmers are always great. You know, we go through those pretty quickly. Donations of electric blankets, donations of small space heaters, and, you know, come visit our sites. We love to give people tours that are, that honor obviously people's privacy, but we're always looking at partnering with people in a meaningful way. So while we do have some volunteer opportunities that are solely operational focused, we also invite people to bring us their skill sets. So we have people that donate their counseling skills, their yoga skills, their book reading skills. So we really try to incorporate as much of the community as possible. So if you're ever just wondering, hey, I wonder if they would like this at the SOS sites, reach out to us. We're always incorporating new and fun ideas.
Kweka and Ian, thank you so much for this conversation.
Absolutely.
It's our pleasure.
And here's what else is happening in Denver today. Employees at the Starbucks at 16th and Tremont have officially taken the first big step toward joining a union. According to Channel 9, they join employees at two other locations in Colorado and a growing movement of baristas organizing across the country. And in a city where the minimum wage is just shy of $16 an hour, Denverite reports that the median home price has hit $575,000. How many hours of latte slinging do you have to work to save up for a down payment? Oh, and before I go, I gotta ask you, what's your go-to spot for donuts in this town? We want to know. Call our Donut Freaks hotline at 720-500-5418 and let us know your favorite donut hole in the wall. Or shoot us an email via denver@citycast.fm and give us your cakey takes on the best dang donuts in the D. That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you're new here, welcome! If you've been here a while and you want to give us some love, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And did you know that we have a newsletter too? Check out denver.citycast.fm to subscribe and read back editions. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye! Calling all donut freaks! I'm just kidding. That's what's going through my mind. Okay.